naked, her cinnamon satin skin shining in the torchlight. Felicidad Mendoza knelt in front of Don Hector on the cool stone of the temple. Naked, he sat upon a polished stone throne. She was rendering him obeisance with her very skillful lips and tongue. He writhed and sweated. Then he seized handfuls of her spun copper hair, thrust his hips violently. He spent himself. She took it all in and never batted a jade green eye. When it was done, she rose, eyes kept carefully downcast.
I hope that my lord will accept my sacrifice.
Her breasts were large and rode high. The nipples were small chocolate caps upon them. Beneath her flat dome of belly and between her panther-muscled thighs, her pubic bush gleamed like filaments of burnished metal in the flicker of the torches. She crossed her wrists behind her and stood nude in front of her lord. The throne had been carved from a single piece of onyx and polished to mirror gloss. It was uncomfortable as hell. Don Hector had purchased from the scavies down-filled cushions to ease his baronial backside, and upon these he now lolled, sated.
Given what a botch you made of the attempt to take Tenorio, I should accept a full flowery sacrifice of you. Perhaps grilled alive in a steel brazier on a bed of glowing coals?
I shall accept what gifts my emperor chooses in his wisdom and mercy to bestow on me.
Actually, the term she used meant literally first speaker. In the Valley of Mexico, that had long been synonymous with emperor, and that was how he heard it.
Tush, tush, my child. You mustn't use that term yet.
If I have given further offense...
All right. No need to lay it on so thick. Look at me now, and explain to me why you screwed up so badly.
I anticipated, thanks to the intelligence reports gathered by my father, that Don Tenorio would at some point go on an inspection tour on that armed cabin cruiser of his, as he does every few days. When our contact in his palace passed word that he had set forth, we executed the trap we had already prepared. By that point, thanks again to our own intelligence assets within the city, we knew that the strangers from the north would be accompanying him. We judged that they would sweeten the price we would bring back to your resplendence. They proved more formidable prey than we reckoned. I, of course, accept full responsibility for the miscalculation and our failure.
He nodded his jutting chin on his fist, as if scratching it.
What in the gods' names were you doing there, Feli? After myself, you are perhaps the most recognizable dweller in all my domain.
The object in disguising our raiding party as Chichimecs, if I may presume to remind your celestial refulgence, was in the event we were discovered before springing the trap. Once we had captured Don Tenorio and his gringo guests and conveyed them here to await your soon-to-be-divine pleasure, there would be bloody little point to trying to pretend we were a pack of muties and savages out of the northern wastes. Now, would there?
Perhaps. But had you not permitted yourself to be seen during what turned out to be the abortive attempt, our rivals might still possibly believe the attack was carried out by the savages. Or at least they couldn't prove otherwise.
As I said, I misjudged. My life, it need not be said, lies upon your palm.
Enough. Enough. We've settled that. You are far too valuable, not to mention beautiful, for me to discard lightly. You are a brilliant schemer, Felicidad. Your skills at intrigue are nonpareil. But you are rash. Sometimes rash enough to spoil your own cunning efforts.
The nude woman shrugged again, causing her breasts to ride impressively up and down her ribcage.
It matters little. Tenorio is a muggy worm. A strong man would be plotting his revenge. Tenorio pleads with us to reopen negotiations. He all but apologizes for successfully defending himself.
You do him a discredit, my lovely little feather. He realizes well enough that only I have the means, the manpower, and the generalship to defeat the Chichimec hordes. He still thinks to use me, manipulate me to do his dirty work for him, while he and his pack of merchants are free to grub like rats in the ruins of this city and gain treasures they had no share in creating.
Felicidad flowed to his side like honey down a plank, caressed his cheek. She fell to her knees. Her fingers trailed down his well-muscled chest and his belly, the rib muscles of which were only beginning to be softened by a hint of paunch. Then her fingers trailed farther down.
We shall give him the talk he wants. All the talk he can stomach, won't we, great chief?
He trailed his strong brown fingers through glinting strands of her hair that had worked free of the knot she had gathered it into atop her head, and smiled.
That we shall. And remember, the foreigners are not to be harmed, especially their woman.
Why not?
Because I say so. I sense great power in them, especially their woman.
So you will replace me with another woman with red hair, provided her hair is naturally that unpleasant shade, of course.
No. I may take my pleasure of her yet. That remains for me to decide.
Of course.
No. Look at me.
He put a curled finger beneath her chin and raised her face.
You know what use I can put her to, and the others. You know what it means to me. To you, too, if you continue to serve me well, without question or further mishap.
I shall give of my all each day to thee, O Lord.
That's my girl. And now, to more personal, pleasurable matters.